It's been so long since we hijacked Sci-Fi Diner.
This is going to be an interesting evening.
Our last best hope for sci-fi.
Raul Wybera?
Oh, he's been around a lot.
It's in the script.
But this is not the Fringe podcast.
Jim Arrowwood?
Well, there it is.
No boom today.
There's always boom tomorrow.
I might be able to help with that.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans.
They're coming up with new words now.
We know what people think.
This is Maggie Egan, your ISN news anchor.
I'm at a loss for words. J.P. Harvey.
You get this warm, fuzzy moment, you know?
Well, he's not playing Zapdos this time either. He's playing Zapdos.
I'm going to withhold comment.
The year is 2019. The place... The Babylon Project Podcast.
Babylon 5 fans, welcome to our next exciting episode of the Babylon Project Podcast. This is Raul Wybera, a sad Raul, because we're almost done with this series, but I'm still joined, as always, by my good friends, Jim Arrowwood and J.P. Harvey. How are you two gentlemen this evening?
I'm not sad.
You're not sad?
No.
Oh,
I'm not sad either.
Then you guys can cheer me up.
Well, we still have a long way to go. Probably another 5 years of this.
Four more movies.
27 books.
A bunch of books.
Yeah.
Are we going to hit all of the books?
I don't know.
Don't forget Crusade.
We'll do Crusade. Legend of the Rangers. Yeah. Okay. That'll be a comedy. That'll be a comedy show, I think. All right, I'm not sad anymore. Thank you.
Okay.
So, what's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, we are
says Babylon 5.
I was going to say we are recording a podcast. That's kind of what we got lined up.
That's what we do.
Yes, we are actually on the 20th episode of season 5. An episode called Objects in Motion.
See, for all you doubters, there really is a season 5. And if you gave up before and this is your first time really through all of season 5, you got another this and two more episodes of Tearjerker.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, gosh. It's been a long time, Jim.
Yeah. Been doing this a while.
And, you know, Troy came on in season 2.
Oh.
Doing the production for us or at the end of season 2?
Gosh, I don't remember. It's been a...
Back when everyone in my family was dying and everything was falling apart and...
Yeah.
He stepped in and then...
Troy was the glue stick that held it all together?
More or less.
Yeah. No denying.
And then you were guesting with us from season 1.
Yeah, I just didn't feel that JP was joining us frequently enough.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
I had to be coerced.
Uh-huh.
It took a lot of arm twisting. Yeah, sure. Hey, JP, you want to be on a podcast?
Well,
oh, hell yes, I want to be on the podcast.
Hang out with the cool guys.
Oh, well. Then you should have been with you should have went with Wayne Henderson and Heinrichs. Those guys.
But this is not the Fringe podcast.
No, it isn't.
I think you guys got me to finally join regularly. Season 3, episode 9.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, I was gonna say probably around. I thought it was somewhere in the midway.
Interestingly called the point of no return.
Yep. Well, why don't you tell us about Objects in Motion?
All right.
Archive. Access. Initiated.
Teresa Halloran, the former leader of the Mars Resistance Movement, arrives on the station with a message for Garibaldi. It seems that his and Lisa's life are in danger from people in Edgar's Industries. According to one of Halloran's spies, people in high places are running some clandestine projects that Lisa does not know about. The higher-ups in the company are afraid that when Garibaldi and Lisa arrive back on Mars, those projects will be shut down. An assassin has been hired and will arrive on the station soon, if not already there. Zack suggests that Garibaldi and Lisa go into hiding until a goodbye party for Jakar can be arranged, at which Garibaldi will be present. But Zack will also be able to have security in place to apprehend the assassin. The killer, Casey, arrives on the station, kills a security guard, and modifies his communication link to listen in on security broadcasts. At the celebration for Jakar, Casey is ready to take his shot, but Zack identifies him and takes him down. Another shooter, who is after Jakar, fires a PPG and accidentally wounds Lisa. Lita uses her abilities to get into Casey's head and learns that the board of directors of Edgar's Industries is behind the plot to kill Garibaldi. Worried that something else might happen, Garibaldi arranges for him and Lisa to be married. Garibaldi then contacts the board of directors and blackmails them all into resigning their positions. A fanatical follower confronts Jakar. He is distressed that Jakar is planning to leave the station to explore. When he takes a shot intended for Jakar, it accidentally hits Lisa instead. Jakar prepares to leave Babylon 5. He invites Lita to accompany him on his exploration. She agrees, and they leave the station, possibly forever. Well, there it is.
There it is. This episode really kind of got me, because this was the first one where the everyone breaking up was really obvious. It was obvious that we're at the home end.
Yeah, not everybody was breaking up, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Nope. And we've got some interesting returns, which leads us to the guest cast.
Yes.
Character files opened.
So for tonight's episode, we have Denise Gentile as Lisa Hampton Edgars, her last of 9 appearances. Let's see, James Hornbeck as Casey, his only appearance on Babylon 5. He's also been on Sliders.
Casey, was that the assassin?
Yeah, that's a bad guy. That was a bad guy that was after Garibaldi. Marjorie Monaghan is number 1, who we now know is Teresa or Tessa Halloran. This is her 6th of 7 appearances on Babylon 5. Under co-starring, we have Jeffrey James Castillo as a guard, his only appearance on Babylon 5. Walter Williamson as Peretti, he's one of the board members. This is his only appearance on Babylon 5. And we have under featuring, we have Neil Bradley as Trenil. He is the Jakar's would-be assassin. This is his last of 9 appearances in various roles on the show. However, will return in the series Crusade. And two of the other board members, Everson and Amistoy, are uncredited.
Okay. Number 1 in the credits, I think, in the show credits, appears as number 1, not as Tessa. I thought that was interesting.
Uh-huh.
Even though we now know who she is, they still put her as number 1.
I think that was for 2 reasons. One is just pure fan service, because that's what she's known and loved as. But I also think they wanted to hold the game, the game close to the chest on the name reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked, and this will actually be a comment about I'll make about next episode. I kind of like the way they swung stuff over, and well, It was done with class. I think there's only one show where I've seen it handled like this. And like I said, that's a conversation for next week. We got a heck of a lot to talk about this week.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our guest cast, really, a lot of it, it seems, yeah, it's like old friends coming back,
you know,
for one last time. But we've got some more of those types of appearances next week as well.
Yes.
Initiating plot analysis.
But to not get ahead of ourselves, like JP had said, number one on the credits, Teresa, I loved it. And I'm sorry, that name just does not fit her. Tessa, that fits.
Okay. Well, they must have realized that because she was only referred to as Teresa one time. So.
Uh-huh. I'll say, I love the look on Franklin's face when he walks across and sees her.
Yeah. Zach's not very happy with her credentials either.
No. And Zach better watch his step there, because she will twist him into a pretzel.
I don't think she'll do that without the authority to do that at this point. She doesn't really have that authority.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, Franklin was there to vouch for
her. Indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, and that vouch. Love the way he describes. Yeah. I know a little about her. She just did. Well, go ahead and play what she just did.
Well, I can vouch for her. She worked with the resistance back on Mars, helped bust Sheridan out of jail, and coordinated the attacks on President Clark's bases that allowed us to free her. She's okay.
All right, if you say so. Download the station regs once you find a place to stay. I have a hunch you'll need them.
Ha, the Bronx snark.
Yeah. Can't get away from that. That's that's kind of Zach's trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Except when he's talking to Lita.
Yep, and that's gonna be one of our sad moments a little later. What I found funny was, I'd have looked you up, except I never got your name.
Well, that was easy. Her name was number one. That was her name.
That just probably isn't going to do too good in a phone directory, though.
No, probably not. Probably wind up with Will Riker or something.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of those nights all around, isn't it?
Sure.
But she's looking for Mike, who is occupied.
Yeah.
Except at the wrong end.
Yeah. Worshipping at the porcelain altar.
Yeah, there's a reason why I've never gotten blasted out drunk in my life. That's a good example of it.
I like Mike's comment. I think I just threw up, everything I ate in the last 12 days. Or poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, in contrast, Lisa's just the picture of embarrassed grace.
Yeah. She's playing it pretty cool.
Mike, visitors, uh-huh. Grimace.
Yeah.
Mike, yep. Visitors, boorah, hurrah,
hurrah.
Just
yeah, but Tess,
give me a chance to let my shoes come flying out, and then I'll come see our visitor.
Oh, gosh. Tess is there to let them know about an assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Apparently, they've got some concerns about Lise marrying the former head of the Alliance intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That for me, that just sounds like it's got the potential of being a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
But they're not going to just bump him off because they're afraid of that. They're going to apparently try to get rid of both of them.
Both of them. Yep. Yeah, so that kind of gives us an idea of what's going to be one of the two main drives of this show tonight. And it almost makes you wonder, was her conversation with Sheridan as long as I'm here, hey, let's catch up. Or was it a matter of warning Mike was an excuse to talk to Sheridan? I don't know, but it sure sounds like...
I say both were... Hmm? I assume that both of those things were on her agenda. She wanted to talk to Sheridan about the political issue on Mars, and she wanted to warn Mike and Lise about the fact that somebody was coming to kill him. Both of those were important to her.
Yeah.
I didn't get the impression one was a secondary thing, you know, or
right. Well, as important as the Edgar's Corporation would be to Mars, you know, they pay a lot of taxes, probably do a lot of charity work and things like that. You wouldn't want the head people bumped off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, like I said, Lise and Mike, biggest threat to the crap that's being pulled on Mars by Earth and the megacorps. Like I said, that way, and that was the one drive of the story. The other drive, well, let's just say Jakar seems to still have his fan base.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Oh.
And there's one person in particular that seems to be more verbose than others.
Yep. Definitely running the cult of Jakar, it seems like. Self-appointed high priest, almost.
Yeah.
Well, he stops by and talks to Lita. Apparently, he had tendered an offer to her, and she seems willing to take his offer.
Well, she has nowhere else to go.
Well, she's
not wanted on the station. She can't go to Mars. She can't go to Earth, or she's going to be arrested. She's got to stay out of the influence of Psycor, plus she has that other agenda that she's working on. She has no place to go. So rather than stay a prisoner on the station,
which is a bed she made entirely for herself.
Oh, yeah. Well, her and Byron together.
Yep. Well, her approach and methods are rather different than Byron's, though. Her conversation with Jakar is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got that, play it for us.
It's ironic. You have to leave because everybody wants you. They're fighting over you. And I have to leave because nobody wants me.
And yet we are the same. In many ways, we are all the sum of our tears. Too little and the ground is not fertile, and nothing can grow there. Too much, the best of us is washed away. My rains have come and gone, for now. Yours are just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And... Well, you know what? One of the saddest parts about this whole interchange, and you know, goes on a little past that, is she's really blind for a telepath because she really doesn't understand Jakar.
No. Well, I think she also thinks he may have some ulterior motives.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't have to do a real scan or anything, and she's certainly shown that she's pretty much abandoned her ethics. It'd be easy enough just to feel the surface, you know, the emotions, and know that he's not running some sort of scam or ulterior motive on with her.
Well, but Jakar is her last best hope for no longer being, from her point of view, of course, persecuted. She doesn't want to spoil that.
Mm-hmm. Short of stopping being persecutable.
I think she's gone over the line, and she's gotten to the point where nobody's going to trust her anymore.
Probably. Which brings up two questions. What's the point of the straitjacket on
her? I was going to ask you guys that question.
I mean...
What else do they have?
Sleepers.
Hmm.
Well,
that's true.
So just a visual effect to make her look more prisonerish or something. Unless they thought she was going to cause harm to herself, which she could still do with the straitjacket on. I'm not sure really what the point of that was. But she's clearly a prisoner when you look at her, because her arms are bound.
Yeah, well, but for someone whose threat is entirely non-physical through the mind, that's kind of pointless, other than it's a... Are they trying to torture her by having a toilet in the bathroom that she can't use?
No.
I mean, how'd she go with the slacks?
The director probably decided to do that to make sure that the audience understands that she is being restrained and she is a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the script.
Who can look up at the camera and cause it to fall into pieces on the floor. And we're going to see just how much good the straitjacket is in just a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the crime of the evening aspect of this. They're going to try and keep Mike and Lise undercover, force the assassin's hands in controlled conditions, and I don't know. This was Zach's idea. What did you think about that one, as far as ideas go?
It moved the story along. Hmm. Mike liked it.
I thought it was kind of a... Oh, go ahead.
No, I just say Mike liked it. He was, this was Zach's plan or whatever. And I was waiting for the criticism, and he seemed pleased by the plan.
Oh. I thought it was kind of a dangerous game to play. You know, under controlled conditions, Murphy's Law.
Mm-hmm.
If something can go wrong, it probably will, and it did. Mm-hmm. They were so focused on looking for the guy to kill that was going to kill Michael, they didn't think about the one that was also gunning for Jakar.
Well, the Jakar is such a folk hero that, you know, who would have thought? Who'd have thought?
Well, Kennedy was a folk hero.
This is kind of the reason because I kind of fall on both sides. It's like, okay, yeah, there's times where law enforcement will set up, you know, if they have nothing else to go on, they'll set up someone as the sting, you know, as the target.
Yeah.
But usually it's a police officer. It's not usually
right.
But yeah, but it's very difficult to watch a crowd.
Uh-huh. And you know, the flip side of it is like, yeah, it's where you're at, Jim. It's definitely a bit of a dangerous game.
Yeah.
And this is also the point where Mike finally gives John his resignation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. After all that happened, would he really be allowed back? That was Mike's comment. Based on everything that Sheridan has done and shown in the past of his nature, I'd say yes. Yes, he would.
Oh, yeah.
But I can also, yeah, I can't see how he could pass up the opportunity, the double opportunities.
And Mike's given him a graceful way to accept the resignation. You know, you weren't going to let me back.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have, but you know, he's just giving him a way to go, okay.
Uh-huh. Moving on. Okay, am I the only person, when I saw the guy running down the hall, hold the elevator, that thought, okay, you don't trust chatty dudes who look like Harlan?
I did laugh when I read that in the notes.
but it's like, okay, that's not going to end well. And all that trouble and a murder that's going to start a whole investigation just to steal a link.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, though, in the follow-up of that, they fooled me. JMS fooled me because, hand with the link dangling out of the gurney. Everything else in the body's covered appropriately, but the hand is stuck out. I really thought someone was going to say, oh, where's his link? You know, with the obvious, and they didn't do it.
No, that was a, I think we have a crafty director for this episode.
Who was the director?
Oh gosh. Now you would ask me that, wouldn't you?
Oh, no worries on that. Cause I have no,
Jesus Salvador Trevino was the director.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay. And he's directed for the show before. So he gets it.
Yeah.
But as far as reminding us of the link, well, the very next scene, we know what's going on here. That assassin is trying to hack it.
Yeah. He seems to know his business, though.
Yeah, very patiently working his way through it.
Definitely a pro. No doubt about that. So whoever is sending that assassin can definitely afford the best. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
We come around from here to some of the stuff we were talking about a little earlier about Tessa and John Sheridan. It's like, yeah, she's wanting help, and he's wanting to give it. And I have to say, I really like the way it's like two old soldiers talking, having gone from the battlefield to politics. Her little comment of, I think I like the bullets better.
Yeah. At least you know that's coming.
Uh-huh. So Earth is trying to create a crisis on Mars so they can ride in on their white horses, be the hero, and scoop up the colony again.
Yeah, continue to do what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And Sheridan's suggestion, I think, is novel. Fine, let's open up relations between Mars and Minbar.
Yeah.
Earth is not going to risk getting in the way of that. So he also wants her to, he puts a price tag on it. He wants her to stick around for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like how this ominous wraps up when we get to it. I like the reason.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I make sure we have a little segment with that too. In the meantime, the hacker succeeds.
Yep, he's broken into the security channels and can now monitor what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, we hit what's going to ultimately be the fly-in, the ointment for Zach's clever little plan. Go ahead and play this bit for us.
They say you are leaving.
Yes.
You can't do that. You are an important figure to our people. You have an obligation to either stay here and teach or return home and lead.
My obligation is to do what I believe is right. If that means leaving, then I will leave.
You don't understand. I spent all my money to come here, to sit at your feet and learn from you.
There's nothing you can learn from my feet. And I am not responsible for your choices.
We put you in this position, Jakar. Our reverence is our gift to you, and you are responsible to us. You owe us. Without us, you are nothing.
Then I am nothing. Good day.
Okay.
And I think Jakar kind of likes that idea.
Talk about disarming the argument.
Yeah. I spent all of my money getting here. How dare you live your own life?
You know, and with all of those Jakar statues that he seems to be selling and...
Selling? He's made them.
Yeah, he's made them and he's selling them, I assume.
Or giving them to everybody.
Well, if he's selling them... There's enough of them around that A, he's probably recouped his loss, and B, Jakar should be charging a royalty.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, Jakar likes the idea of being a nothing. I think that was the whole point.
And he takes the statue and symbolically breaks it in two.
Yep. The only problem with this is the guy is obviously a whack job fanatic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You think there might be repercussions?
Oh,
that's rhetorical.
Yeah, there would definitely be something going on.
Oh, several several episodes back when Jakar talked about fearing that, was it that his shadow would become greater than the message or something like that, and now that's realized. You've got this guy who has made it all about Jakar, and mm-hmm. Jakar's point was it's not about me at all.
Yep. You're right.
So this cat probably sealed the deal for what Jakar intends to do. Starting with the walking, oh, okay, then I'm nothing. He walks out of the room, right? And what does the fellow say? Don't mm-hmm. walk away from me, or don't turn your back on me, or something like that. And Jakar just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think if there was ever any doubt at all, this had to have put it to bed. And here's where I was wrong. The guard's link was in his effect, and now is when Zach puts 1 + 1 together to get 2.
Yeah, it's a fake.
Yep.
It's a fake.
Which should have been obvious from the get-go, because the face of it didn't look like the Babylon 5 links at all anyway.
Yeah. That and the adhesive.
So quickly figures out, okay, they have full access to our secure channels. And Zach moves fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got the little stage performance, the little going away party.
Yes. Got to say goodbye to Mike. We got to say goodbye to Jakar. So.
Yep. So they put Mike and Lise on stage in plain sight.
Front and center. Yeah.
Front and center. I just have one question. I'm going to wait. I'm going to ask my question later.
Okay.
That was a nice going away speech, though.
Yeah, but it does look like a shooting gallery in there.
Yep, which is exactly what it becomes, because they send a nasty feedback loop into the link, and it's like, squeak! The assassin, the paid assassin at least, fails. So Zach's plan works right as expected, and Zach stops the assassination attempt on Mike and Lise. Unfortunately, it doesn't take into account our honked off Norn.
But yeah, and so, you know, we take care of one guy, and everybody's rushing over there to him, and the other guy, the angry Norn, he's left all by himself out there.
Yep. And almost finishes the job for our assassin.
Well, part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Because, yep, he hits Lise. Now, my question. Okay, if you're going to do something that high risk, don't you think they might put some sort of body armor, some sort of ablative armor to spread or at least reduce the injury? Just in case.
One would think.
Okay.
Maybe the director's not as crafty as I thought.
Hey, Raul.
Hey, JP.
It wasn't in the script.
Grr.
Dang it.
Not in the script.
Not in the script.
Well, the good news is it looks like it just winged her in the shoulder. So we'll see just how bad it is.
Now, you remember back when Mike got hit in the shoulder, we know that a PPG hitting the shoulder doesn't necessarily mean some pretty bad injury.
Yeah, it can. It certainly can. In the meantime, while Franklin is doing his work, Mike has something to do.
Well, he only has something to do because Zach tells him there's nothing you can do.
Yes. Why don't we let Mike explain that to Zach?
Oh, Michael. Michael, I want to talk to you about pressing charges against the nine.
Forget that for now. Look, I want 5 minutes with the guy who came here to kill me and Lise.
Now, you know I can't do that.
Yes, you can. Now, damn it, Zach, I haven't asked anything from anybody around here, but now I'm asking, and I'm going to get it, or I'm going straight to the president. Now, I give you my word, I will not lay a finger on this guy, but you're going to give me 5 minutes, well, you're going to have to shoot me, because I'm going down there.
To me.
Shut up and sit down. I need a favor.
I'm not in the mood.
Tough.
Besides, it's not admissible in court.
I don't care. Look, we had a deal. You need me as much as I need you. Now, either you climb inside his head and tell me who hired him, or the deal's off. The hell with you, and the hell with your little war against the Psi Corps.
Well, since you asked nicely.
Look, you can't do this to me. I've got my rights.
All right, who sent you? Who hired you?
He's actually fighting me. He's been trained in countering probes. He's singing songs, doing math. You forgot to carry the 7. That's better.
Push harder. Who hired you?
Yours.
Oops, that was a mistake. By getting mad, you distracted yourself from distracting yourself, and I slipped in through the back door. Nighty-night. He's alive. But I fixed it so he won't remember any of this.
Who sent him? Who hired him?
The board.
Board? I figured it had to be somebody on the board of directors of Edgar's Industries. What I need to know is which one.
Not one. All of them. That was the deal. They all had to agree and back each other up in case things backfired. Of course, there's nothing you can do about it. There's no proof.
You just leave that to me. Thanks, Lita.
Everybody's telling Mike there's nothing you can do about it. Apparently everybody,
he's not having any of that.
No, apparently everybody's forgotten that Mike can do some insanely crazy things.
Yep.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, I like how that something involves Lita.
Well, she wasn't in the mood.
Well, she seemed more amused by the whole mess than anything, frankly.
Well, of course, I imagine the mood that Garibaldi was in, he was broadcasting far enough to hear in the next sector.
Yeah, yep.
So she probably already knew what he wanted when he came through the door.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood. That was so slick.
And, you know, I will add one thing with her absolutely unnecessary threat at the end there. Why is she surprised that people want her gone?
Yeah, she's scary. She's very scary.
Yeah. What was that? What was that line? Actually, it might have been from a Babylon 5. You can. No, yeah, it was a Marcus line. About attracting more flies with honey in a big, or something with honey in a big stick.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
She needs to take some Marcus lessons.
Yeah. Little bit of tact and diplomacy would go a long way, wouldn't it?
Yep. But we know who's behind the plot. And she certainly seemed to enjoy telling that one to Mike.
Yeah, it was almost comical.
Yeah, the whole board of directors. Oh, man.
Uh-huh. Well, the real comedy of that one is going to be coming toward the end here.
That is some of the best get even I've seen in a TV show.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, Jim, I got to thank you. You did a lot longer clip there, and it was definitely worth it.
Well, I knew we needed that other stuff, and of course, again, Lita's, I'm not in the mood. I couldn't leave that out.
You couldn't leave that line out.
No.
Yeah. Well, Mike was telling the truth. He didn't lay a finger on him. I'm assuming he does. You know, slamming him against the wall and then into the chair doesn't exactly count. in the context that he meant it.
Yeah.
But he got his information without it beating the guy up, beating it out of him. So,
right.
Yeah. And the you forgot to carry the 7 line.
Yeah, that one too.
Uh-huh. Sheridan pays a little visit to Jakar. And I'd kind of forgotten a lot of that. And then after that little line about 240 light years, yeah. It's like, oh, no, we've got to have that whole clip.
Yeah.
Jim, go ahead and play this for us.
You know, we've had our differences. We've yelled at each other. I mean, there's been more than a few times when I wanted to deck you. But when the day is done, I've always had the greatest respect for you. I'll miss you.
Unnecessary. You see, I believe that when we leave a place, part of it goes with us, and part of us remains. Go anywhere in the station when it is quiet, and just listen. After a while, you will hear the echoes of all our conversations, every thought and word we've exchanged. Long after we are gone, our voices will linger in these walls for as long as this place remains. But I will admit that the part of me that is going will very much miss the part of you that is staying.
You take care of yourself out there, old friend. Maybe we'll meet up again down the road a ways, huh?
Maybe so. Goodbye, John.
Ooh, you know what? That is the first time that you have ever called me John?
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Goodbye, Jakar.
That really was the first time you ever called him John.
I don't think so. I thought about that after he said it, and I think probably somewhere in season four.
We got to do a script search. Script.
I could be wrong.
Said script.
I think he's called him John before.
Huh.
I don't know.
We'll have to have our archivist investigate that one for us.
Just search for the letter J. It'll pop right up.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's words that occur. There's plenty of words that occur more often. You know, like the, A. Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, on a more serious side, though, that bit of final wisdom was really, really poignant when you consider, you know, Catullus, you know, in the context of Catullus's passing and the passing of so many of the other characters in that show.
Mm-hmm.
And the sense that, you know, they're gone, but with that, there's a part of them that's still with us. It just kind of touched me.
This also closes the loop on something we talked about earlier, about the possible viewing of the farewell ceremony as just a prop to draw the mm-hmm. assassin out, to draw the potential killer out. And
mm-hmm.
this scene gave me the impression that might have been set up sort of that way on purpose to leave you wondering if that was a little bit... It wasn't really genuine. Its purpose really was just to draw a bad guy out. And if that was the intent of the acting and the setup, this scene is the one that makes it clear that John, what he said was really in his heart. It wasn't just nice words for the sake yeah. of having a pretend farewell to draw a bad person out of the crowd.
Well, we see how much Jakar has grown over the series.
Yeah.
And this is an example of his growth as a character.
Yeah. I mean, the earlier moments kind of summed up with Sheridan's comment to him at one point, stick your fingers in your ears and hum real loud.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you just how much, yeah, I think in some ways, he and Londo, of all the character growth in the entire series, is probably, I'd say he and Londo really showed the most.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which makes sense, because I've said before, you know, this show could have been called the Rise and Fall or the Tragedy of Londo Millari.
Or the Rise and Fall and Rise and Fall and Rise and Fall of Londo.
Yeah. That
I get
too.
Knocked down, but I get up again. Could be a song.
I think that's been done.
Okay, darn it.
When Sheridan leaves, Jakar starts a message. Keep that message in mind, because it's going to be maybe not important for the series, but certainly important for the station. And it's another one of those little things that I really liked about how they finished this with a bit of class. So anyway, Jim, like you said, those PPG shots can be worse than you think. But Lisa's going to make it. And I almost had you pull the clip on it, but we're already kind of running clip heavy.
Yeah.
And, bedside wedding. And he remembered she was Baptist.
Well, he's got to get it over with, because if she's a target and they get her before they're married, he loses his fortune and has to go back to work for the president of the galaxy.
All right. Though I don't think that was his
No, intent. I know. I'm just being a smart ass.
You know, the problem is there's no way. It's like, how do I say we saluted President Scroob?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well.
So the scene includes Mike kissing the medic in his zeal. That was pretty funny. But the serious part of this, if we're looking at closures as the series wraps up, Lisa's shot to the arm did not result in Mike using, that was not an excuse for Mike to go drink again. He didn't drink.
No, he didn't drink. He called in a pastor, and not for last rites. Mm-hmm. Though being a Baptist, I already knew we don't do last rites, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And from here, we get some more closure. Jakar and Lita. If you remember that question I asked about the straitjacket. Well, handcuffs. Clink. Like I said.
Why didn't you do that earlier? That made everyone feel safer. Like she really cares about how anyone feels.
And she decided she kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she's kind of gone early Jakar. Jakar's kind of grown up a bit. And she's doing some of the old season one kind of banter with him, and it's kind of falling flat on the character.
Yeah.
And I think she's kind of genuinely sad that there's no one there to see her off.
Well, yeah, she's scared the hell out of everybody.
Except Zach is lurking there in the background.
Well, he's thinking about what might have been.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of feel bad for the guy, because he was a really nice guy to her. Took care of her, brought her pizza, cleaned up her IKEA bags, all that stuff. And he's just kind of left out in the cold.
Yeah, well, we'll see the ending of that in one of the movies that kind of takes place between season four and season five, or midway through season four, something like that.
Yeah.
Again, why didn't she sense Zach? I'm going to guess that, I've been kind of snarking on her about this, but, and I've accused her of abandoning most of her ethics, but I'd say it looks like there's still a little of that respect still hanging into her.
Yeah. Well, she might have sensed him and chose to ignore him.
Uh-huh. But
who knows?
Anyway, still a sad moment seeing the two of those leave.
Yeah.
And Meanwhile, for the moment that I think JP's been waiting for, on Mars, Mike has a word with the board of directors. He calls bull hockey. And it turns out he's got all of their dirt, except that's not the bad news. The bad news, I don't know how much of this you've got, sir, but let's play the bad news for them.
Let me introduce you to the new head of intelligence for the Interstellar Alliance.
Hi. Pleased to meet you. I've heard so much about you. Well, since I started poking around, that is. The timing was perfect. You see, we've had a lot of problems on Mars ever since we went independent. I had no idea that you five, were responsible for so much of it. Your personal issues aside, if even half of what I know now about the role you played during our fight for independence got out, well, does the expression skinned alive ring a bell?
Thank you. I think that just about covers it. Why don't you go on ahead and I'll catch up later.
If you think you can blackmail us.
No, that's not the end of it. I just wanted to get her out of the room before I got to the really good part.
Yeah.
So, Peretti, he is the guy that says you can't blackmail us. They killed one of the board members. You five. Well, one of them's gone, and he's going to be the scapegoat for the entire thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but that doesn't quite work out.
Yep. And like Mike said, that's still not the good part.
No.
The good part is you're all fired.
Yep. I want your resignations on my desk tomorrow morning and leave the cigars.
Uh-huh. Oh, and by the way, if anything ever happens to us, you're all dead.
Yeah, here's a half a million credits for for your heads on a platter.
If there was ever a picture of what a stunned mullet looks like, those guys were the stunned mullets. They looked dumbfounded at how this all just fell apart in a minute or two. You know, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy playing Peretti plays it absolutely perfect.
Yep.
And I know we already did it. I could have almost sworn I've seen that guy somewhere else. But then you look at his credits and it's not that detailed. He's primarily, you know, stage.
Yeah.
But gosh, he looks awfully familiar.
No, I'm sure he's been in something.
But yeah, that solves the Mars end. Mike doesn't catch up with Tessa. Someone else does.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's called Objects in Motion, and these two are sure making moves on each other. Yep. Let me tell you.
Yep. Back to the O. Steven bit. Go ahead and play it.
When this place was built, I think irony was one of the primary materials used in construction. Like the irony of you coming here just when most of us, me included, are getting ready to leave.
Yeah, I noticed that. On the other hand, maybe it's for the best. I mean, look, Stephen, what we had when we had time to have what we had, it was great.
Yeah.
And it meant a lot to me. And it's not that I don't need someone else. It's just that I don't need someone else right now. There's so much going on in my life these days that I can barely keep up with it.
I know. You don't have to explain anything to me. You're talking to another workaholic, remember? I understand completely. It just wouldn't be, practical. I mean, you being here and...
And you'll be back in Earth Dome, working at your big important job. Probably pulling 24-hour shifts, same as usual.
Yeah, same as usual.
So, it really couldn't...
No, you're right. It couldn't...
So there we are.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, I do have about an hour before my next shift starts. In case you wanted to celebrate your new job.
More than an hour or less than an hour?
About an hour and 10 minutes.
You go on ahead. You know how I like the lights. I'll take care of this. Check! Check, please!
And the way she yells for the check.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, ah, this is going on. It's like, jeez, guys, get a room, would you?
Yeah, well, that's what that's they're going to do.
That was the plan. I like how he has an hour and 10 minutes. It's like, well, every minute's going to count, apparently.
That makes all the difference.
Yeah, I got an hour and 10 minutes and 32 seconds.
Okay. Going into TMI territory. Ah, we end this episode. Yeah, this takes us pretty close to the end point now. Someone we haven't seen all evening is back, Delenn. And in keeping with the idea that the episodes actually just represent segments in real time as the year goes through, they leave in a week.
Yep.
But before we leave the episode, we have one more departure coming. And let's go ahead and play that, Jim.
I've never been really big on goodbyes, and this just isn't gonna work.
It's all right, Michael. Go on.
It's just that my family, my mom and dad, they passed away a long, long time ago. The two of you and Stephen, Jakar, hell, even Londo, you're the closest thing that I've had to a family. You know, I never thought I was going to make it out of here alive. I always figured I'd end up face down somewhere in Brown Sector. I'm glad that didn't happen. Because now I have a chance to have a family of my own. Maybe I can find a little happiness. I have the two of you to thank for that more than anything else in the world, and I don't have the words. I just wish Jakar was here, because he'd know what to say.
You did just fine, Michael.
So then Michael gets called away, and he just kind of fades away.
Yep, and Delenn's right.
But he'll be back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not on the station.
No.
Oh, spoiler.
Ah, we just ruined the whole season for you, I know.
Season 6.
Ruined the whole damn series. What are you talking about?
Delenn's right, though. That was the hardest parting for me.
Yeah.
Well, okay, of this episode, there's actually one more that's going to be an even bigger kick in the gut.
Yeah.
And it's not what some people might expect. But, yeah, Mike was the last of the originals, I guess, then. Except for Delenn herself now.
Yeah.
Everyone else who started the series, who started with the station 5 years ago, except for her, is now gone. Well, was Corwin around in the season one?
Season two, wasn't it? Isn't that when he showed up? Or what? I don't think it was season one.
He didn't have a name until season two. I thought he was in and out.
He was there, but he was not a lieutenant yet, because that came later. But I think he was there in the background. He didn't really play a major part.
Uh huh. And out of this, DeLynn has one of her more insane ideas. Let's walk the station.
Sure. Why not? What, now? And then...
Yeah.
Now is all we have. Which is probably some of the wisest words of anything.
Yeah.
Now is all that, we have.
That is so, so true.
So.
But she might want to change shoes before she takes off.
Well, she can jump on John's back and ride piggyback if she gets tired.
Oh. But, yeah. And that takes us to the end of Objects in Motion.
Yeah. It ends rather abruptly.
It ends, but it doesn't, I guess. It
was a lot of motion. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A whole lot.
A lot of moving parts.
But, it you know, the episode wasn't any longer than any other episode, but it seemed longer. And not for bad reasons, because there was a lot here in this episode. So, you know, it seemed like from the time the assassin got caught by Zach to the end of the episode was like another episode yet.
Yeah. It felt like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
A two-part movie, because there's definitely more to go. But it was watching this episode that really hit it home for me. I'm just thinking back to the first time. It was when it really first hit it to me that, yeah, they really are going to end this.
Oh, yeah. So,
Yep.
We're not going to let you get sad, Ro.
Nope. You're not going to ball on my show. No damn way, Yuri.
Well, you've headed that off. We've got a lot more time together, so.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, that was Objects in Motion, and objects that are in motion, according to Newton's, tend to stay in motion, but in this case, they don't, because they're going to come to rest. Because they're acted upon by other forces.
An outside force.
Yes.
Correct.
So,
next time, are you suggesting that the episode is Objects in Rest?
Objects at Rest, yes. The penultimate episode for the entire series. The changing of the guard completes as Sheridan and DeLynn leave the station for the new ISA headquarters on Minbar. Their journey to their new home, as well as their arrival, however, are tarnished with ill omens.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, so we get resolution, and we also get some unpleasantness.
Yeah, it pretty much. I like the way they phrase that, changing of the guard.
Yeah,
and I'm going to hold off any comment about that until next week when that actually does happen. So.
Good. That's probably a good idea.
Any final thoughts? I'm going to go ahead and toss mine out and then let one of you guys have the last word. My final thought is very simply, this is how you end a series in style.
I agree.
So I'm going to let it go back to you guys.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that would be. You know, they knew they were going to end the series at this point, so they were able to set it up. Where there's a lot of other series that do not have that same advantage, where it's like, you're canceled, and it's like, how are we going to wrap this up? You know, remember what the last episode of Star Trek original series was?
What was it?
Turnabout Intruder, where Kirk takes over, or a woman takes over Kirk's body,
mm-hmm.
which is considered to be one of the worst episodes of the entire series. So at least Babylon 5 had a chance to set it up well.
Yeah. This is why I'm so glad they let them have a full fifth season too. Now some other shows, they're starting to give them, okay, we'll give you 13 episodes to wrap everything up, but we still haven't seen a series, in my opinion, that lets us really finish the story, as it were. Not wrap it up so we can go on to the next project, but truly finish the story.
Yeah.
So this really, second half of season five is actually some of my favorite parts of the series.
Yeah.
And for the record, the name I had been looking for, Joel McCrary, that's who the guy that played Peretti was reminding me of, I think. Joel McCrary was the guy who played the Prime Minister on Princess Diaries.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. But he was a lot thinner than Peretti.
Yeah. Is there a little bit of similarity to see there?
Well, yeah, they both had beards.
Well, I've got a beard, but in fact, with what I'm sporting, I'd be tempted to argue, that's no beard.
Okay, time out. Did we have any boom today?
Yeah, we did. We had PPG boom.
Do PPG.
Okay, we had boom. What about?
Okay, I'll say.
What about tomorrow? Are we going to have boom tomorrow?
Oh, heavens. Yes, we'll have boom tomorrow and boom next time. And probably some boom, boom, boom in between.
Why would we expect any boom, JP?
Because there's always boom tomorrow.
And next time.
Always.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
So long. Hey, JP, say good night.
Good night, JP.
Podcast terminated.
Thank you for listening to the Babylon Project podcast. You can email Raul and Jim at the Babylon Project podcast @gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Babylon Project Podcast. On the internet, we are at babylonprojectpodcast.wordpress.com. To subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed on the webpage.